repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. And you told us to enter into the gates with thanksgiving and to come into your courts with praise. Lord, we praised you. We thank you. And so, Lord, we're expecting a manifestation of your presence by way of your word. Holy Spirit, do what only you can and take the words off the pages of the Bible and make an indelible print on our hearts by way of your spirit, by using the rhema word of God to reach us in a way that when we leave today, our lives will be changed. So I speak to every heart, I speak to every mind, and I say in Jesus' name, be open and be receptive to hear what God is saying. And Lord, even those who are online watching, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart not only be acceptable to you, but let it minister grace to the hearers in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Well, last week I started a series called Random Truths and Principles About Christmas. Now, you may say, well, Pastor Eben, what kind of series is that? Well, I'm doing the series for two reasons. Number one is so you and I can identify some biblical truths regarding the birth of Christ. There are many things regarding Jesus' birth that I believe a lot of people are unfamiliar with. And so we're going to use the series so we can identify some biblical truths about his birth. And then number two, we're doing the series so we can discover some principles in those truths so you and I can learn and live by them. Because the word of God is no good if you don't know how to apply it to your everyday life. Say amen to that. So if you're taking notes or you need the notes, just raise your hand. If you're online, there should be a way for you to click and get the notes as well. Our message title this morning is Your Mouth Contains Your Miracle. Your mouth contains your miracle. Everybody say, your mouth contains your miracle. Now say it, make it personal. Say, my mouth contains my miracle. So here's what we're going to do. Last week we looked at Joseph, who was the stepdad of Jesus, and we looked at his life to see what we can learn from it. Well, today we're going to look at two other people's lives to see what we can learn from them. And the first person we're going to look at is Zacharias. He was the father of John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus. The second person we're going to look at today is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So we're starting in Luke chapter 1, verses 5. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, who was of the course of Abiah. Now, let me explain that part right there so you can get it. The word course there can also, in our day and time, mean shift. You know how you can work different shifts? You know, had a morning shift or the night shift. Well, this man, Zacharias, was working of the shift, and these different shifts had names, and his was Abiah. It says, and his wife was a daughter of Aaron, who, by the way, was the first priest that we know of from the different 12 tribes of Judah. And it says that her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God. I want you to listen to these people's lives. They were righteous before God. They walked in how many of the commandments? All of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, even blameless. But here's the problem. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in years. Verse 8 says, and it came to pass that while he was executing or working in the priest's office before God in the order of his shift or course, verse 9 says, according to the custom of the priest's office, his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And a whole multitude of people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw this angel, he was troubled and fear fell on him. I can understand that. Amen. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah. Read this with me, church. For thy prayer is what? Thy prayer is heard. That's going to be important in just a minute. He says, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you will call his name John. Now, okay, so now, as we keep reading, I want you to listen to the promises that the angel is giving Zacharias regarding his son. So first of all, he says, you're going to have a son. That's number one. Number two, he says, you're going to name him John. Number three, he says, and you're going to have joy and gladness. Number four, he says, many are going to rejoice at his birth. Number five, it says, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Number six, he will not drink strong wine or strong drink. Some of us wouldn't have qualified. Number seven. Number seven, he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Number eight, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Number nine, he's going to go before Christ in the spirit and power of Elias. Number 10, or whatever number I'm on, he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Number 11, and the disobedient of the wisdom to the just. And then the last one, he says, this son that you're going to have is going to make ready a people who's prepared for the Lord. Now watch Zechariah's response. Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. Now I'm going to read that out of the ERV version just so it's more clear about Zechariah's response to the angel. And Zechariah said to the angel, how can I know that what you say is true? I'm an old man and my wife is old also. Watch verse 19. And the angel answered him and said, I am Gabriel. This is going to be very important. And I stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak to you, Zacharias, and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. And here is why you're going to be dumb and unable to speak, because you did not believe the words that I gave you, which shall be fulfilled in their seasons. So everybody say six things. So we're going to look at six things that we can see about this miracle, because contrary to popular belief, even though we're not in control of miracles, we can participate in miracles. And there are principles regarding miracles that you and I can operate in. And here's the problem. Most people never see miracles because they are ignorant of the fact that even though they cannot start the miracle, they can participate in the miracle. So six things that we need to see about this miracle. First of all, before we give the six, I want you to notice that Zechariah and Elizabeth can be examples of a modern day church couple. So just look at somebody and say, he might be talking to you right now. So here's the first thing about this couple. Number one, they were living right and doing right. Everybody say they were living right and they were doing right. Because we read that they were righteous before God and they walked in all the commandments. But I want you to point, I want you to notice something, that living right and doing right does not mean everything will be right. And here's the problem that believers have when it comes to walking with God. We're living right and we're doing right, and some things ain't working right. And so instead of now asking ourselves the question, what can I do to make things right? We blame God that things ain't right. But see, you have to understand, we live in a world of sin. We live in a world that we have an enemy, that he's an adversary. It's called the devil. And just because we're doing things right and we're living right doesn't mean that everything is going to work out right. But if you have a biblical perspective in life, you'll know that God is on your side and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Bad things do happen to good people. So we can see that although they were living right and doing right, things weren't right. Why? Because they didn't have a son. Listen to number two. Here's the second thing we need to learn from them, is that Zechariah served God practically. So I want you to think about it. If you're a couple and you're living right and you're doing right and things may not be right in certain areas, I want you to notice on top of that, he was serving God practically. In other words, he was in the temple serving God as a priest. And sometimes as believers, we're living right and we're doing right and we're serving right and things ain't right. And we get, listen, most of us, we get discouraged from that. Because you may be serving in church and thinking, my life should be straight. Well, it's going to be straight, but the question is, how are you going to activate the miracle? Here's number three. They didn't have something they desired. How many have a desire right now, but you ain't got it yet? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Yeah, they were the same way. They didn't have something they desired. She was barren. They both were old. Listen, and I want you to notice this now, because see, sometimes when we experience difficulty and challenges, God wants to use those things to get glory and give us a story. Church, listen, God wants to make your problem your pulpit. Do you know you can't have a testimony without having a test? So they didn't have something they desired. Here's number six or number four. Zechariah prayed for what he desired, but he didn't, listen, he didn't believe the prayer he prayed. I'm going to say that again. Zechariah prayed what he desired, but he didn't believe the prayer that he prayed. And that's a lot of people. Just because you prayed the prayer doesn't mean you believe that God would answer the prayer that you prayed. Because the angel came to him and said, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. So Zechariah, watch this. Listen, just because you pray about something doesn't mean that you believe what you prayed. So here's a take-home thought. You can desire it and never acquire it. Here it is. He prayed for something. And evidently, he might have been praying for a long time. He prayed for something. Watch this, though. But he didn't believe in what he prayed. Because if he'd had to believe it, the angel wouldn't have had to shut his mouth. Which now, watch this now, shows us faith and believing are different. Amen. See, faith without action is what? Okay, here's a different way. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. So I want you to notice now, faith without action is dead. And most people, they are only believing. I'll break that down in just a second. Here's number five. Zechariah was bold enough to pray it, but didn't have enough faith to say it. So what do you mean by that? He was bold enough to pray his petition, but he didn't have enough faith to say what he prayed. You say, what do you mean by that? See, lots of people will pray to God for something, and when they get up from their prayers, what they say doesn't match what they prayed. Amen. And listen, church, you cannot have faith without words. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, this is when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and they wondered how he did it. So it says in verse 22, Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. So he's about to explain, how do you have faith? Because my point here is, you can't have faith without having words. And Jesus said to them, watch this, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, watch this, whosoever shall say, everybody say, say. Okay, so if you're going to have faith in God, you have to say something. He says you need to say to the mountain. He didn't say you say to God. He says you say to the mountain. Say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe, watch this, that those things which you say shall come to pass. Watch what he says. You shall have what you say. So I want you to notice several things. In order for your faith to work, you have to be saying something. And then he noticed, he said, what you say is what you need to believe. So that means you can say something, but not believe it. Wow. So the question is, how do I know that I'm believing what I say? I'm glad you asked me. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because in order for us to have faith, faith involves words. In fact, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Faith speaks what it believes. 2 Corinthians 4 says, we have the same spirit of faith. Okay, how does that work? He says, I believed, that's past tense, and because I believe, therefore have I spoken. So the spirit of faith says, if you believe something, you will say it. He goes on to say, we also believe, that's present tense, and because we believe present tense, therefore we speak. And here's the problem. When the angel came to Zacharias and talked about what he prayed about, Zacharias didn't believe it, and so the angel had to shut his mouth. In other words, watch this now. To believe is to be agreed. How do you know you believe something? If you are in agreement to what you believe. And Zechariah didn't believe. Watch this. He did not get in agreement with what the angel said to him. So here's a take-home statement. When you and I do not believe what God's word says about us and about what we prayed, then the next thing is difficulty. We'll always follow disobedience. Why? Because the angel had to shut his mouth. You say, well, why did God shut his mouth? He shut his mouth because if he had not shut Zechariah's mouth, watch this, Zechariah would abort it his own desire. Many believers don't realize that they function and operate in spiritual abortion every day. Because if your mouth say things that don't line up with God's word, you are committing spiritual abortion. You say, what do you mean by that? Had not God, by the angel, shut Zechariah's mouth, watch this, Zechariah's words would have interfered with God's plan, and eventually he would have aborted what God had for his life. Amen. So now we'll see here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 23, what happened after that. It says, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration had accomplished, he went home to his own house. Now remember, the angel gave him a promise. He says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. Verse 25, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days wherein he's looked on me and taken away my approach. Then the next thing is Mary visited them, and then Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, was born. So now this brings us to the fifth thing that we need to learn about this is that God would not let him speak until he was ready to say what God said. I want you to think about this. God shut this man's mouth. And for 9 months, he couldn't say a word. You know how difficult that would be to a talker? Watch verse 56 of Luke chapter 1 and verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came, and she should be delivered. She brought a son. And her neighbors and her cousin heard how the Lord showed great mercy on her, verse 59. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother, Elizabeth, said, no, not so. But he shall be called what? John. And they said to her, you don't have anybody in your family named John. So then verse 62 says, and they made signs to his father, because the father couldn't talk. So I don't know if this is where sign language was created, but they were saying, John, Zacharias, what do you want to call him? No, it said they made signs to the Father. They made signs and said, well, what do you call him? So then he asked for a writing table. Watch this. And he wrote saying, because what you write are just as powerful as words. Psalm 45:1 says, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Your tongue writes the script of your life. So it says here, he asked him for a tablet, and watch what he says. I'm going to show you something that happened. His name is John. And as soon as he said that, watch verse 64, his mouth opened immediately. What's my point? My point is this. God shut his mouth until he got his mouth in agreement to what God wanted. And that time of silence, I'm pretty sure, was difficult for him. So here's a question. What difficulty are you going through because your mouth is messy? So God had a miracle in store for Zechariah, but his mouth hindered his miracle. So let's look now at another miracle from Mary and see if we can see this same principle, and then I'm going to give you all some things to take home and do. Here's point number two. You believe when you agree. Now, there's a major difference between faith and believing. If you would, somebody bring me a chair. Bring me a chair. Now, people think that believing is a big deal, and it is a big deal, because believing sets the stage to having faith. All right? So, how many believe that this is a chair? Raise your hand if you believe that. All right, all right, all right. Now, how many believe that this chair can hold me up if I sit in it? How many believe that? All right. Now, I can believe that this chair can hold me up all day, and I'm believing the right thing. And most people in life, they're believing the right thing. But here's the problem. Believing alone is not what activates the promises of God in your life. You must have faith. Now, here's the difference between faith and believing. Believing is having the right knowledge. It's agreeing to what's truth. That's what believing is. But faith is now, remember, faith without works or action is what? So watch this. Believing turns into faith when action takes place. So the moment I sit in the chair, I no longer believe the chair will hold me up. I have faith that it does because I did some action. And most people, all they're doing is believing. Oh, I believe God will bless me. I believe God loves me. I believe God wants to do something in my life, but there's no action on their part. It's like Zechariah. He didn't believe the angel. So the angel shut his mouth. So he was like, oh my God, if I don't line myself up, I'm going to abort this miracle. So how do we know that after he left, he started believing? Because he got busy with his wife. Remember, believing is just knowing. Action is moving. Amen. So anybody, listen, church, anybody can believe. James chapter 2, verse 17, he says, even so faith, if it doesn't have works, it's dead being alone. A person may say, I have faith, and he says, and I have works. He says, if you'll show me your faith without your works, which, by the way, is only believing, then I will show you my faith by my works. You watch this. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But the devils believe that. The devil believes that God is real. The devil believes that Christ is real. But they don't have faith in who he was and what he did. And that's the difference. So watch this. He says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain person, that faith without works is what? Okay, so faith without action is believing. That's what believe. See, and that's why a lot of people believe. See, a lot of people, how many believe that tithing is real? How many believe that tithing works? But I tell you, put your hand down. But I bet if I say how many in here are doing it, I wouldn't get that many hands. Because you believe that it's true, but you don't have faith to put it in action to show it. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking to somebody up in this house right now. So now the angel comes to Mary in the sixth month. I'm in verse 26. And so it says in verse 28, the angel came to her and said, Hail Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw that the angel, she was troubled, just like Zechariah. And she thought in her mind, what type of greeting is this? Verse 30. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary. That's the same thing he said to Zechariah. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and you will bring forth a son. Here's the promises. And you shall call his name Jesus. That's number two. He shall be great. That's number three. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's number four. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's number five. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's number six. And his kingdom would have no end. Then watch now. Watch Mary's response. Then Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I don't know a man? Because she was a virgin. And the angel said to her, The Holy Ghost will come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and that holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now watch something real unusual. He's about to change the whole subject and talk about somebody else. He says, And by the way, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, what did she do? She said, because miracles have to start with what you say. She said, be it unto me according to your word. In other words, she said, what you just said, let it happen. So there are five things that I want us to see about Mary's miracle. Here's the first thing, is that favor made Mary worthy of the miracle. See, many of us, we live in false humility. I'm not worthy. I'm just a worm and a germ. You know the song they sing, you know, Amazing Grace, how sweet it is that saved a wretch like what, me? You were a wretch. You can't be a wretch and righteous at the same time. Now, you might be, the world uses ratchet. You can be ratchet and righteous. But favor, everybody say favor. Favor made Mary worthy. And you and I are worthy because Christ made us worthy. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9 says, And when we are found in him, in Christ, not having our own righteousness, I talked about that last week, which is of the law, which is legalistic. He says, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, which is by faith. In other words, favor made Mary worthy. Faith makes us worthy. Here's the second thing we can learn, is that Mary's question to the angel came from a heart of faith with a need for clarity, where Zechariah's question came from a heart of doubt with a need for proof. Did you get that? I'm going to say that again. Mary's question came from a heart of faith with a need for clarity, but Zechariah's question came from a heart of doubt with a need for proof. In other words, he focused on human ability, where Mary was just wanting to understand divine ability. Here's the next one. God's testimony of others gave Mary faith for her own. That's why the angel stopped talking to her and said, by the way, your cousin over here, this has happened to her. You know she's been barren all her life, and all of a sudden now she's pregnant. See, God's testimony for Mary, Elizabeth's testimony, gave Mary faith for her own. And church, let me just say this. Never let the blessings of others cause you to be envy. Cause the blessings of others, listen, to inspire you. Because if God bless your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood to bless you. Amen. Here's the next one. When Mary agreed, everybody say she agreed. When she agreed, her agreement was proof that she believed. That's how you can know if you really believe what God says, is when you get in agreement with that. Because if you notice, she said, let it happen to me. Here's a take-home statement. This is good right here. Your words can be a womb or a tomb. In other words, your words can produce death for you, or your words can birth things for you. Death and life is in the power of your what? Of your tongue. And Mary could have aborted her own miracle with her mouth. And that's why God muted Zechariah's mouth. See, some of you, your life is on mute because your mouth is not in agreement with what God's mouth says. Amen. Words being spoken is how miracles start. The creation in Genesis 1. Listen, God used the principle that I'm telling you of speaking to cause the world to come. He said, let there be light, and there was what? And there was light. In Genesis 17, God told Abraham, listen, your seed is going to be like the sands of the sea and like the stars in heaven. And today we are children of Abraham. In Exodus 17, God told Moses, speak to the rock. And when he spoke to the rock, watch this now, the miracle of water came out of the rock. Why? Because miracles have to be initiated with words. God told the children of Israel, I want you to walk around the wall of Jericho all these times. But at the end, I want you to do something. I need you to initiate your miracle by shouting. And when they shouted, the walls of Jericho came down. Joshua was in the midst of a fight, and he was running out of daylight. And the Bible says Joshua looked at the sun and said, son, stand still. And he listened. He experienced a miracle because he opened his mouth. Fire that came down from heaven. Why? Because Elijah prayed and said, listen, God caused fire to come down from heaven and consume this. And when he did, a miracle took place. Naaman, who was a leper, the Bible says the man of God told him, go dip seven times in the Jordan. And when he dipped seven times, watch this, his miracle came to pass. And it only happened because somebody opened up their mouth. God told Ezekiel, go look at those dry bones and I need you to talk to them. And when you talk to those bones, flesh is going to come on those bones. Listen, the reason he saw a miracle is because he opened up his mouth. Some of y'all are not convinced. I'm going to keep going. The centurion came to Jesus and said, my servant at home is sick. I need you to come and pray for him. Jesus said, I'll come in your house and pray for him. He said, no, you don't need to do that. Speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. The servant got healed because words were spoken. Listen, Jesus and his boys were in the boat. Life started lifing. The rain started raining. The waves started waving. And Jesus looked up and said, peace be still. His words created a miracle. My question to you today is, what kind of words have you been saying? Are you been speaking miracle words or messy words? The woman with the issue of blood saw Jesus, and the Bible says she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And the Bible says when she touched his garment, that blood dried up. Say amen to that. And then in John 1, we know the verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without the Word, nothing was made. And then verse 24 tells us, and the Word was made flesh. Maybe the flesh you're seeing was made by your words. I was talking to a lady, and my car invited three people to church this week. You say, how does that happen? I didn't know your car could talk. Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and the Bible says he answered the tree. That tree was talking. Well, my car invited three people, and one of the ladies that I talked to, I said to her, you know, they want to know, give me a success principle. I tell them the same one. I said, when you get increase in your hand, give a tenth to God. That's too practical, though. So After I talked to her, I asked her, I said, so what did you hear me say? She said, you said when I get paid, because I only get paid once a month now. She says, when I get paid to give a tenth to the Lord. I said, that's not what I told you. I said, when increase comes your way, for you to give a tenth of increase. She said, but I only get paid once a month. I said, here's the problem. You're now only trusting God to bless you once a month. I'm trying to get you to see that God can do exceeding and abundantly above that. He don't have to wait till your payday to be a blessing to you. So listen, I'm not just waiting or tithing from a check. I'm tithing from increase. Lord, increase me. Say, Lord, increase me. Amen. It was the seed of agreement that got Mary pregnant. I want you to hear this. It was the seed of agreement that got her pregnant. And many of us desire things from God just like Zechariah. But we, listen, out of ignorance or arrogance, don't do it God's way for him to do his part. Because church, spiritual principles are no different from natural principles. Ignorance of them don't give us a pass. You can run a stop sign and literally not see it, and the police pull you over and give you a ticket, and you say to them, but I didn't see the stop sign. Just because you did not see the stop sign doesn't mean, watch this, that you still can't have the penalty of what that is. Well, some of us are ignorant, or we are arrogant of spiritual principles, and watch this, and so we don't apply them. But see, ignorance don't give us a pass. So how do we apply the word today? Number one, begin choosing your words wisely, because a miracle or a mess are in your words. Number two, be intentional. Say intentional. Be intentional and use God's word to prophesy your own future. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I told that lady, I said, here's the problem with you. You are asking God to bless you according to your riches and glory. But he said he will supply our need according to whose riches and glory? Okay, so once now I trust him to do it his way, it is now up to him to do his part. And here's what I love about God. God ain't gonna owe nobody nothing. So you mean to tell me I'm gonna do my part and he not gonna do his? No. He's not a man that he should lie. So we're going to have to be intentional. Don't live a muted life. Because some of you are not saying nothing. That's just as bad as saying the wrong thing. So what do you mean by that? One of them can cause destruction. Yeah, well, the other one can too. Being silent can cause destruction. Here's number three. Ask Adam that. Adam and Eve, he was silent. It took the whole world into sin. Here we go. Number three. Yeah. If you see your kids, they off, you better say something to them. Well, if you see your spouse off, you need to say something to them. But Pastor, I don't know. I don't want to hear no back talk. I don't want to. Well, okay. Don't live a muted life. That's number three. Use your words to produce life. So I want you to do this with me. Close your eyes right there where you are. I want you to say, Lord, forgive me where I have used words that hurt me. Words that have been negative. Words that have no life. I speak to you now and I say in Jesus' name, be canceled. Today, I've decided to use my mouth to activate miracles. In Jesus' name, I say, world around me, bless me, increase me, heal me, change me. God, use me for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. And I speak to my world. I speak to my life. I speak to my body. Be healed. Be whole. Be changed. I speak to my kids. I say in Jesus' name, you obey your parents. in the Lord because that is right. I speak to my children that they honor me as their parent. And because they do, things are going well with them. And they're going to live a long life. I speak to my job and I say in Jesus' name, bring increase into my life. Lord, use the company I work for to do exceeding and abundantly above all I can ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, every seed I put in the ground that has not produced a harvest, I say right now, seed manifest in Jesus' name. Seed increase in Jesus' name. Seed be multiplied in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you today. And thanksgiving is in my heart for doing what my eyes haven't seen, but what my heart has believed. Now I want you to give him a praise for what you just said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are some people who your health has been struggling. If you will apply what I just taught you, you can reverse the condition of your health. Your confession is, I have high blood pressure. Well, you have what you say. You say, well, Pastor, what do I say? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says you're healed by his stripes. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Because if you're not sure, I want to give you an opportunity.